Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 5 past 5 and you are now listening to Men Talk. Just to say before we move on with the show, if there is any breaking news, I will of course pass it on and we will go to the BBC for a follow up on that news. But currently the Queen is comfortable at Balmoral and many members of the royal family have flown to Aberdeen and are on their way to Balmoral to be with the Queen at her side. So anything changes, I will update you. So for the time being, we are in the studio with Michael Senker, Ken Lingwood and Peter Bennett. Hello, guys.
Good afternoon, Hannah.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you all for coming in. So there's a couple of articles to start off with that I may have mentioned or we may have gone through last week in Women Talk, but I saved them because I thought they might be worth going through with the men, one of which was talking about the snooze button. The headline was, 6 in 10 of us hit the snooze button and spend an extra half an hour in bed. It says here, it might not be such a good idea. A comprehensive study has concluded that if you snooze, you really do lose. Researchers found that those who set a sequence of alarms to wake them in the morning are more likely to have a higher heart rate compared with those who rise to just one. I am not a snooze button kind of gal. If I set my alarm for the time that I absolutely need to get up, and when the alarm goes off, I know I have to get up, so I get up. Not everyone's like that, I understand, though, Peter.
No, they're not, Hannah. Not everyone's the same. Variety's a spice of life, isn't it?
Yes.
I like a little snooze.
You're a fan.
I do like a little snooze, just a little 15, 20 minutes extra.
Okay.
And Debbie's obviously up about making a tea, and I'm generally snoozing. I enjoy it.
So do you purposely set your alarm earlier than when you need to get up in order to get that snooze?
No, I set the alarm for the time that Debbie needs to get up.
Brilliant.
And so I'm kind of voluntarily going along with it.
Okay.
And I don't need to get up at that time of day, but
okay.
I generally do, or 20 minutes later anyway.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Are you a snoozer, Michael?
I don't set alarms ever.
Okay.
Right, Patty's my alarms. Get up, you lazy sod. Right. I have a confession, and this is honestly the gospel truth. My alarm clock, I've got one of these electric alarm clocks next to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even put the hour forward yet from March. I swear to you, my clock is still an hour behind.
6 weeks it'll be right.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. That's how much I'm bothered about getting up and doing things. I just leave it. I only have to leave it for 6 months and it's right again.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but I'm one of those that used to look at the clock and couldn't get up on an odd number. Like, so I'd look at it and it'd be like, I'd set the alarm for 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And then I think, I'll get up. It's 8:01. I'm going to get up at 8:04. I'm going to need another 3 minutes, but then I fall in the sleep, and then it's 9:10. So I just don't bother with an alarm anymore.
Brilliant.
Unless I've got to really be somewhere, but I wouldn't get. I wouldn't
set it up.
Yeah, I mean, I had to take Sarah to the airport the other day, and her flight was at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to leave at 3:30 to get her to the airport at 4.
Okay,
but I didn't set an alarm then. I just sat up and watched Netflix. In case I fell asleep, then I wouldn't get up.
And
if I did it, I'd be an hour late because my clock's wrong anyway.
So you literally go to sleep when you're tired and wake up when you're awake.
Yeah, I'm a 4 hour siesta guy in the afternoon.
Okay, nice. Right.
Oh,
how lovely.
Well, that sounded that.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it? Ken's looking shocked. What's a siesta?
Just wake Ken up. No snooze for me.
No.
Alarm.
Up.
Ring, ring. Oh. Up. And if I don't want to get up, the dog makes damn sure I am up. Because the dog hears the alarm.
Right. So he knows that you should be getting up. She's
from here. and that's it. Always like I can hear his broken whistle through the door.
Oh. Right.
And that's the dog.
Yeah. Oh. And do you get the scratching on the door?
Yes. Okay. Mrs. Lingwood Wells, however, she loves a snooze button.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, super gross.
Yeah. But no snooze to me. No. Certainly I'll get up. I am a morning
person.
I like the mornings. Get up, take your dogs to the beach, and away you go. They go to work.
I wish I did. I wish I was a morning person. I love the. I've got so many friends that just wake up naturally at 7 o'clock every morning, and I think how lovely. And they say, "Well, you get more of the day," and I'm like, "Yeah, I get it."
Sarah will go to the gym at like 6 o'clock in the morning. She'll have like boxing lessons. There's a box goes a box boxing goes. She's like hitting people at 7 o'clock in the morning and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So is your wife?
No, it's my daughter. My wife only hits me.
Yeah.
And I did hear you mention last week that having done the breakfast programme for so many years, everyone assumes you're a really morning person, but you're not really.
No. And everybody said as well, because everyone said, you know, I guess you're into getting up early now, you know, when I've been doing it for a few months. And I said, no, if it wasn't for my alarm, I'd sleep through the show. So my alarm literally woke me up and everybody said, oh, now you're not doing breakfast, you'll probably wake up that time anyway because your body clock's used to it. No!
No!
I wake up at like 8:30, 9:00.
Oh, lovely.
Like easily. Yes. This was an article from a few weeks ago, and it kind of, I wanted to talk about it last week, but it kind of disappeared somehow, so I thought I'd bring it up tonight.
Someone must have put the page back out of order.
Which is why there's an order. So this, you probably saw this story about the Finnish Prime Minister, Sanna Marin. She tested negative for drugs after leaked videos showed her partying. Shock horror. The 36-year-old she was seen dancing with celebrities in clips that circulated on social media last week. The mother of one who became the world's youngest serving government leader in 2019, blah 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 blah. And people were kind of going a bit nuts because she was seen to be having a good time, and I remember thinking, is this a story? Like, what's she doing? What's she doing wrong? And she had to prove that she wasn't on drugs and she was just having a good time. And I found the whole thing really odd. Are people do you think of people in a certain position, and you can decide what that position may or may not be? Do you think they should not be out having a good time, or not be seen to be filmed or photographed having a good time?
She's 36 years old.
Yeah.
She's a human being.
Yeah.
She has a job. I have a job.
Yeah.
You have a job.
Yeah.
She has a job, and we still have fun. We still do stuff. Now, is this a story in Finland as well? Because I'm damn sure, knowing a lot of Finnish people, they couldn't give a monkeys.
Yeah.
Outside of Finland, here in the UK, we love a bit of a little gossip.
Yeah.
But no, for me, have a great time.
I just think it's this whole the whole social media thing makes these stories go along. I mean, it's not a newspaper story. It's not something that Reuters would pick up. This is something someone's taken a photo with it on their phone, stuck it on Instagram Twitter or Getter or whatever they.
Getter.
No, there is one called Getter.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the alternative to Twitter.
Wow. See, we need to go to our social media guru here.
That's the one where all the conspiracy theories are.
Oh my gosh.
And all the ones that get banned from Twitter go to Getter. Supposedly, I think that she's gone out. She's had half. I mean, it's just that you can catch anybody with these camera phones now. Or everyone is a reporter.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, getting out of a car the wrong way, getting into the car the wrong way, putting your hand on someone's shoulder. You know, whatever you do is a story.
Yeah.
but for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's 35, 36 years old. Let her go and enjoy herself. I mean, exactly. Okay, she was crawling along the floor trying to sniff up the white lines in the middle of the road.
That would be a story.
Just having a bit of a party.
Having a bit of just, a dance.
Look, yeah. There's more white lines. There was some of that.
But here's the thing with
rolled up 12 Corona note or something.
Exactly. Too far.
There was a time when it was a newspaper story was tomorrow's chip paper, and it was disappearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now when it's all out on the cloud and
going around
in circles.
I mean, to be honest with you, I look at things and like I think on Instagram that things only last for a day.
Yeah.
So it is their own chip paper. It disappears.
Yeah.
But I mean, on Twitter, you can put anything on Twitter and it becomes a story. You can make up anything.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. With all their checking, what they supposedly do, this is a non-story. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, if she was out having a bit of fun. Good luck to her.
Yes. Isn't it
nice that some politicians can be relatable like this?
Exactly.
Because she's only doing what most of us have done or would do.
Exactly.
And I think that's sadly where...
Should be celebrated.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of politicians out there, we could name many of them, who are just not relatable to the public at all.
Yeah.
They think the public think they're on a different...
To be honest, after Tuesday, I can't name any of them.
Yeah.
And there's a whole load of people that last week were like sitting around saying, I wonder what I'm going to do next week. Oh, I know, I'll be the health secretary. So they save loads of money on protection because no one knows who they are.
Yes, exactly.
Good for the economy, you know.
So another story about dancing, and I saw this, an example of this, in the summer. I went to a beach club that I really enjoy going to, a great place, and for the first time, embarrassingly, in my early 40s, I felt old.
Mm.
And I noticed how nobody danced. Nobody. Not once. There was a few people, you know, the odd kind of shoulder movement, but that was it. Nobody stood on their feet and danced, and it was brilliant music. And my friends and I were dancing, and some 20-somethings were filming us because we obviously looked like their mums dancing, and they obviously thought we were clearly ridiculously cool. Embarrassing, I hope. But either way, nobody danced. And I thought, wow, there's an article here that is talking about this woman who's in her 40s, I think, and she's saying dancing used to be fun, a harmless, careless pleasure. Now, due to everyone snapping away on their smartphones, it's likely to lead to pillory and censure if you're in any position of authority. So this was relating to the Finnish Prime Minister. When did dancing stop being cool?
I have no idea.
There's nothing finer than going out on an afternoon, fueling yourself suitably, and just making a complete fool of yourself.
Absolutely.
It's great fun with your friends.
Absolutely.
It's great fun.
It is great fun.
I refer to Sarah went to a festival last weekend.
Yeah.
And DJ Spoonie was there, and she sent us a video of her dancing her socks off.
Brilliant.
I mean, she absolutely was going for it with her mates. And if she's 34, her friends are in early 40s, and they were having a time of their life.
Brilliant.
And absolutely, I mean, she did something like 40,000 steps that day.
Wow.
There you go. What beach club did you go to?
Dancing's so, good for you.
I mean, I used to love dancing. I can't anymore, but I used to absolutely love dancing, and it got to that dad dance, you know, where I got up from the seat and was dancing on the way to the dance floor, waving my hands. Come on, you like this one, everybody out. Bit of Peter Kay, you know.
But it's perfect.
Yeah, loved it.
We should name in Shameless Sally by the Sea here, shouldn't we?
No!
Everyone's too cool for school who goes there. That's
so
the problem.
Cool. They were so cool.
I love the Sally by the Sea.
Me
I love
too.
The people
it's
who work
favorite.
There. Yeah,
yeah,
and it's a great place.
Absolutely brilliant.
Come on,
but
kids,
yeah,
get
were,
dancing.
I used to love watching the mums dance. You know, doing the dancing and the. But that's still the
If only we had a camera in the studio. studio right now. There's something really fantastic.
He's moving, as you say, in the 1972 is the old thing. That's like the night fever and going on. Never changed. The only place I learned to dance was Top of the Pops. Used to watch it on the TV. Absolutely. On Thursday night.
Brilliant. We're going to take a break, but we have a dance.
Talk Radio Europe. Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Men Talk. With me in the studio today is Michael Senker, Ken Lingwood and Peter Bennett. So there's a piece here talking about Man Friday. The article says, why every woman like me should get a Man Friday. It's Virginia Ironside who's written the article, who's a very successful journalist and author. She said, he mows the grass, clears drains and does the bins, all without being nagged. But he's not a doting husband. He's one of a new breed of handyman lodgers. There's a website called helpfulhousemates.co.uk, and basically the idea is that a younger person, I presume it doesn't have to be a man, a younger person living with an older person, you know, sharing the rent and the bills and things, and they are able to kind of contribute to the household and maybe do helpful things around the house that the older person perhaps can't do. At first, she didn't like the idea. She was like, I don't need a carer. But it's not that kind of setup. It's not about needing a carer. It's literally, instead of employing a plasterer or an electrician or whatever.
I've had one of those for years, called Patty.
Oh, poor Patty.
Good with her hands, is she?
I think this is a great idea, but it makes me nervous just because of all the sadly horrible people in the world.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's kind of opening for abuse and stuff. The idea of a young person going to live with what could be perceived as a more vulnerable older person.
Agreed.
It worries me.
I generally think that's only likely to happen if you know that person particularly well. You're not going to invite some sort of stranger in to live with you.
Oh, these are strangers.
Oh, that's, really?
That's the setup. Helpfulhousemates.co.uk.
Good God.
So you can be a young person that would like to and is quite prepared to live with an older person and be, you know, helpful around the house. Or you can be an older person that wants a younger person to come and live with.
This sounds a bit like modern day slavery to me. I think this is you find yourself someone who's go to your local somewhere or other and find a young person to look after. This is what they do. They bring in foreign people or young English people or people that have limited working experience and bring them in. Slavery, it's ridiculous.
Well, there was an interesting article.
I'd do it if, number one, I wasn't married, and number two, I had absolutely no skills in any of the above qualities, i.e. mowing the lawn, plastering, doing anything like that. But
you would do it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Great, imagine it. A rich Marbella housewife.
Yeah.
Young poor guy coming in. Doing whatever's necessary.
I've seen
to pay
this film.
Yeah, I know.
never actually saw him clean the pool. He's got a brother who's a plumber.
Brilliant.
I've just looked it up, Anne. I'm not that comfortable with it, really. You know,
I don't like it.
Well, there was a kind of different side to this. I read a story on my Good News Story feature on the show last week, and it was this. It didn't sound the same as this, but it was a similar kind of idea. It's this big, big thing in the States now, where you're getting younger people moving in with older people. Both, you know, single, so just two people living together, and they've got these, you know, great kind of unlikely friendships are being formed. Younger people learning a lot from older people learning a lot from younger people, and it's because of, you know, the cost of living rising. So older people on their own maybe need a bit of financial help. Younger people trying to start out, it's a university, whatever, first time jobs, difficult to afford rent. So from a financial point of view, they're both kind of helping each other out, and it was described as, from the American thing anyway, as being a really lovely, positive, wonderful thing in terms of intergenerational
friendships. Until one of the family works out that someone's run off with mum and dad's savings.
Well, I think there's too many,
maybe it's just the old, you know, cynical
me being too cynical.
Yeah, I don't know. you know, I think you've got to be a registered carer, to be honest with you.
I tend to agree.
I think you've got to have some certification, yes. You've got to have some qualification. You know, you can't just say, yeah, I'm a 25-year-old boy, yeah. woman, man, child, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'll change your light bulbs for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so
open for abuse. That's the problem.
Yes.
The idea, the premise sounds amazing.
It does.
Sound really wonderful. But the reality is, you can imagine people thinking, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
What an opportunity I've got here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
and when it works out, you know, the way she's described it in the article is fantastic. But if something went wrong, and I don't want to say this situation particularly, but, you know, if somebody, the older person, was robbed or taken advantage of by the younger person.
Or vice versa.
Or,
you know, you start, you know, taking liberties with the young person.
It works both ways. But if something like that was to happen, I would imagine. Most people, sadly, would go, well, why did you let him move into your house?
Yep.
There probably wouldn't be as much sympathy as perhaps there should be, because it would be perceived, because, you know, we're told...
Brought it upon yourself. Absolutely.
We grow up not to talk to strangers, not to invite strangers into your home, and here they are. Oh, here's a stranger, come and move in.
I mean, it does seem...
Yeah, it seems strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I hate that we're being cynical.
I think in this day and age...
You've kind of got to be about something.
The problem is that people always say, oh, you're pessimistic, you're cynical. But sometimes you're just being realistic.
Yeah, exactly.
I think so, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
New York
will no longer use the word inmate to describe prisoners because they find it degrading. Instead, those serving time will be known as an incarcerated person in a move blasted as coddling criminals.
Ridiculous. An incarcerated person.
Yeah.
Well, you're incarcerated because you've done wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore you are a prisoner.
Yeah. Or an inmate. I mean, I don't get why inmate is offensive.
Well, I think there's, it's just too
much. Mate's a nice word, surely. Yeah. It could be a lot worse, isn't it?
The trouble is, is it's like there's someone sitting there looking for names to cancel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, manhole cover. It can't be a manhole cover. Manchester United, it can't be Man City. Like they want to cancel them all.
As
chairman. It's got to be a chairperson. Inmate is an incarcerated. Well, I'm an incarcerated person. Where? In prison. Oh, you're an inmate. Well, yeah.
Exactly.
It's less letters. It's much easier.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Incarcerated person takes too long to say. Inmate.
That sounds like an illness.
Yes.
I've got an incarcerated... I'm an incarcerated person.
Bless you.
Hannah should put the ointment on fire.
Yes,
she'll move in and help you.
You'll be lucky. This takes it to another level. Families on a day out at a Thomas the Tank Engine steam train line have reportedly been warned not to call the fat controller fat. Visitors were told that fat is a slur and the character should be called by his real name, Sir Topham Hatt. Never knew that.
No.
One father told the son, "We were talking about the fat controller when a staff member stepped in. In no uncertain terms, we were told no one could use such a slur."
Well...
It's his character name.
It's been my nickname for years.
No.
I swear to you.
Is it the fat controller?
Yeah, Patty gives me the television control and she says, "Give it to your dad, the fat controller." Because I'm the one with the television control. I have been the fat controller for years. And I'm quite happy with it. You're going back to the political correctness. Fat's fat.
Yeah.
If you're fat, you're fat.
Well, the point is...
Well,
that's true.
That is true.
It is his character.
It's the character, that's the point. It's not people that have decided to call him fat.
It's a Thomas the Tank Engine themed bit of this part.
Exactly. That's his character name was the fat controller.
And years ago, and I have to make all these references, I'm sorry, but years ago, in the children's books, when Sarah was a little girl, right, there was a book that she had and it said, "This is a fat woman, this is a tall woman, this is a short woman, this is the..." And then we were in a restaurant one day and the door opened up and in walked this woman and we just we just sat there and we said, oh, please, Sarah, don't do it. Oh, and she just shouted out, look, Mum, there's a fat lady.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But it wasn't, it actually used to be in the book.
Ban this filth.
Ban this filth
she
now.
She was identifying. She was identifying. She seemed in the book.
Yeah. And there was, there was the time that she was in the post office and she saw a person of short stature.
Can you call them dwarfism?
And she's just stood there looking at him and looking at him and he's like, oh, Sarah, don't please.
No.
She's gone up, she's gone, hello, do you work in circus?
Oh.
And, again, it was coming from an innocent place. Yeah. What I'm saying is there was a time where it was in children's books.
Yes.
The Fat Controller, Thomas the Tank Engine, had fat... Well, the man in
it was known as the Fat Controller.
I just found out just now what his name is and instantly forgot it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Same.
It's rather a clever name, isn't it? Was it Topham Hat?
Yes, it's Topham Hat.
Yes, so presumably you can shorten it to Top, could you?
Top Hat.
Yeah,
exactly.
I
see what they're going.
You got a problem with that?
What, fatism? No, I don't. Salad
dodgers.
You imagine Ringo Starr doing the reading the story, and being told you can't call the Fat Controller the Fat Controller.
Exactly.
But who's it upsetting?
The Fat Controller.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a complex.
So the one who works in that theme park.
It's a cartoon.
Anyway. I know. No, but this is a theme park with real people. So
you mean the Fat Controllers are now as a real person?
In the theme park, yeah.
Like, dressed up? Like, yeah. So what about Goofy and all that? They're all real people, are they?
No, well, in Disney World they are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But no, so this guy presumably got the job because he was a certain size.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It could be a fat suit. He could be a skinny person.
Oh, I doubt it.
Well, they do it, didn't they?
They do. I never thought we'd go so deep into that one.
I still want to know if the dwarf worked in the circus.
No, he didn't. He was fine with it. No, he didn't. No.
Oh, good. And he wasn't offended?
No, not offended.
I've got a great... No.
Break.
TRE.radio. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Oh, thank goodness for ad breaks. Right. Moving on to a very bizarre one, which I was going to say for the women, and I thought, no. Absolutely, we can discuss it together today on Men Talk. There was a bit of backlash, so much so that I think he was fired. Women's rights activists have blasted the decision to hire a man as the UK's first period dignity officer. Jason Grant, a former personal trainer, was going to earn up to £36,000 a year for the Scottish Government-funded post promoting access to free sanitary products. There was a huge amount of backlash. Martina Navratilova said it was bleep ridiculous. She added, have we ever tried to explain to men how to shave or how to take care of their prostate or whatever? This is absurd. What do we think?
We did have a discussion on this outside.
Yes, well,
I'm just wondering what when he was sitting down the job centre and he's looking down there and he's gone... Bus driver, fat controller. What's our fair? Oh, look, period controller. Officer. That'll do me.
Yes.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you've got 24 days a month on holiday.
Very good.
I see. We're getting into...
Not funny.
You're getting dangerous.
No, it's not dangerous. It's almost like you're lighting the blue touch paper.
Sorry.
I'm glad you said that.
So, it is bizarre. I mean, that I'm all for equality and, you know, we should all be able to do lots of different types of jobs. But for a position like this, it seems strange that, A, a man would want to do it, and B, surely it's a woman.
Maybe it was advertised in Fetish Weekly or something.
Oh, God.
But there is no lack of dignity in a woman's period. It happens.
Well, no,
there's
exactly.
No lack of...
Yeah.
And
no.
It's a ridiculous scenario.
I mean...
It's the real world.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand why someone thought, well, it's a good idea to open it up to everybody, but actually it's not. I mean, I know it is what it is, but, you know, some jobs are for men, some jobs are for women.
Yeah.
That I think might be a woman's job.
Yeah.
Might be. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Mm.
Well, you'd like to think they'd have more experience in that field.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, to be relatable, you know.
Totally.
I don't quite understand, because obviously it's the first time it's in that, so I don't quite understand what the job of a period dignity officer would be. But if it involves talking to women about their period, you'd assume that a woman who could relate to having gone through it herself.
I mean, can you imagine him if he's part
sense.
Of the job's going around to schools talking to young girls about...
It'll be so
about,
embarrassed about, talking about a man, talking with a man about it.
I wouldn't talk about it at all, would they?
No.
They're unlikely to talk about it with their fathers, never mind a stranger.
That's right. No, I can't ever remember talking to my daughter about it.
No, exactly. Exactly. So to talk to a stranger who's a man about it is quite odd.
It's almost a self answering question.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
End
it
off.
I don't want the job.
No, fair enough. This one is talking about microwaves. Experts claim it's the cheapest way to cook. Apparently, you can cook a 3-course dinner in a microwave. I remember like microwaves being like a massive, big, exciting thing, and I wonder whether I'm different to everybody else. I wonder how often people use microwaves and for what purpose.
Oh, one of my favourite meals was chicken ding.
Chicken ding.
Dinner's ready.
So do you use a microwave for any type of cooking, or if you're not the cook in your house, would your partner use a microwave for cooking? Do you know? Have you ever seen one?
Rice.
You're acting like I think this is what she does, but I'm not really sure.
We don't use the microwave for anything other than heating something up. We wouldn't use that as part of the cooking process.
No.
It's usually in our house, it's reheating something.
Yes, exactly.
Defrosting. Sometimes a defrost.
Too sophisticated for us.
Or in the morning, I have a toasted cheese and ham bagel and then put it in a microwave for 20 seconds to get the
Nice.
So one of the main things I use the microwave for is for heating a wheat bag.
A what? What's a wheat bag? What's one of them, man?
So a wheat bag is like a sausage type thing shape.
Yeah. Are you a vegetarian?
No, it's not sausage.
I'll just have a sausage. No, okay. Oh, you put this on aches and pains?
Yes,
I know what you mean. Yes.
Aches and pains,
Is that what they're called? I never knew that.
Well, it's just because there's wheat in them and it's a bag.
So the thing is, it's the sort of thing that we're going out of microwave. I just look at it and eat it.
No, don't do that.
As soon as I heard ding, I put it on the thing.
They generally smell like lavender.
I've defrosted your wheat bag, haven't
you? Yeah, exactly. But so I can't imagine cooking. I sort of have this thing that they're also, you know, with all the kind of all the microwaves and everything, which was obviously a selling point at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think now they're probably not that good for us.
I mean, in that article they're going on about, you could cook a 3-course meal in a microwave.
Would you really want to do that?
No.
Yeah, what would your 3 courses be?
Beans, and
a cheese and bagel.
Exactly, with a wheat bag on the side.
It seems to go, I mean, it never tastes the same, does it, out of the moment?
No, exactly.
You do a job with it, like Sunday's eating Saturday's curry, you know, that's all right, lunchtime.
Yeah.
That's all right, but it's all congealed around the plate.
Oh,
yeah. It doesn't look right. It's useful.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It is useful, but practical, but not that enjoyable, is it really?
This is an interesting one. Talking about the dining room, the headline is, "Do you mourn the death of the dining room?" How often, honestly, do you sit round your dining table? Did you do it more as a child growing up? Have you done it when your children were perhaps growing up? Do you do it now when it's just you and your partner? How much use does your dining room table get?
Oh, it's great. It stacks loads of stuff on it.
Some papers.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's great. It gets a lot of use.
Yeah.
But not for eating.
Not for eating. No.
We do. In Lingwood Towers. Yeah.
Every night.
Not every night, because most nights we're off out somewhere.
Okay.
God, living the high life.
Come on,
but
mate.
if we're eating together or with Katie's kids, it's done at a table. Well, certainly myself and Katie.
Really? Yeah. Nice.
It's very rare that we sit in front of the TV and have something as a snack.
Very sophisticated.
Well, no, it's not really, but it's, and it's nice to sit out in the garden.
Yeah, yeah.
At a table. Do that more often than not.
Okay. Do you as well?
We do, Han. We do. Really? We sometimes have to force ourselves to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's actually
easier. I like it. Yeah.
Just sit down. It's about eating habits.
So I've got one of those 25 footers like that.
Yes. It's like Putin and his crony, you know.
We
have to force ourselves to do it, especially in the summer when we're
busy.
Mm. And the easiest thing to do is get two trays and right here you go, eat that, and then that's it. You know, it's not a very joyous experience, though, is it? Sitting at the dining table is much more enjoyable. You're looking at it.
I must confess, it almost goes back to. The reason we're not sitting in front of the TV with a tray or whatever is that very rarely watch TV.
Oh, even better.
Oh, wow.
Because it's always out.
I can't get involved in this conversation. I watch the TVs with food on my lap. Basically,
it's not a crime, is it?
At the moment, we're sort of staying down in Los Bleaches on the Paseo. Mm. So we go out to eat every night. It's lovely. We just go out for a walk and just go and stop at a restaurant and
eat. Brilliant.
And we find that's much more enjoyable than actually being home, because even if I'm sitting at the dining room table or eating or whatever, the TV just, because is on.
Yeah.
It's just because...
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and that is, it annoys me, but at the same, but down here we don't watch as much television.
Ah, brilliant. That's really good.
The
change of scenery
it's really good.
Mm. Nice to have stuff within walking distance as well,
we do we do a lot of tray dinners, and we enjoy it.
It's
and
cool.
So often we say let's sit at the table. I think we should sit at the table, but we'll sit at the table
but
and then straight away go and
but you know what happens. So for instance, we have a curry when we home. Mm. We have a curry delivered or something like that. We'll sit at the table.
Yes,
and
with
that.
The curry. Right. Yes, yes.
But as soon as I finish mine, I pick up the last pompadour and sit
back to the sofa.
Yeah.
All right, isn't it?
Do you want that? You're going to eat that? No, all right. I'll see you in a minute. Munching it and crumbs across the floor.
What are you doing?
With the dog following me as I drop any bit of cheese.
You're trying to speed. At half time or something.
While you're doing that, Ken's off out with the Finnish Prime Minister again. No. You know,
dancing away. I'm just looking at the news. Buckingham Palace says the Queen is under medical supervision. There is no change. Just to let you know, I am on top of the news, and we'll let you know, of course, if there's any changes. This next article. I had experience of this travelling recently on an aeroplane going back to the UK. Yeah. Commuters shock as the transport chief tells her, don't like louts blaring out their loud music, then get off the train. So this is to do with people kind of complaining about people on their devices, whether it's playing a game or on the phone or whatever, listening to music, watching a film maybe, and not having headphones so everyone can hear what's going on. And instead of promising action, Transport for London brushed off a commuter who pointed out the use of smartphones without headphones was becoming a menace. They said people are permitted to listen or watch any form of media while travelling, and said it wasn't an issue. I think it's so rude.
That's bloody rude, isn't it?
I think it's really rude. When I was on a plane, there were people. Some people did have headphones in, but had it so loud that you could hear it anyway. But some people didn't have headphones on, and there was a young girl that was playing on a game. So you get the bing, 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 ding, 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 you know, all the kind of music that you get, with her mum sitting next to her, obviously used to it, not bothered. And I couldn't bring myself to say, please, can you ask your daughter to whatever, because you know you never know how people are going to react. But I just thought it's so rude when you're in an environment like that to not have headphones.
Totally rude.
I tend to say something.
would you? Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
I might not say something to them. I might say something to the cabin crew or something like that and
right,
say,
yeah,
excuse me, this is unacceptable. You know, I've paid for my ticket.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I don't wish to listen to this music.
Yeah.
And there should be some, you know, you shouldn't be fooled. You shouldn't. It's a ridiculous statement that, you know, if you don't like it, don't
get
travel
off the train.
You
know, it's fast, isn't it?
You know, it's just as bad sometimes sitting in a restaurant and someone just takes a phone call. Mm-hmm. Instead of going outside, they're sitting at the table. I don't want to hear him talking to his mates.
Yeah.
Or also, I don't want to... What I think is funny on my phone is maybe not funny to somebody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've got 10 people doing it, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I would... I mean, I do it in a restaurant. I've turned around and gone to someone, shh, keep it down, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then run. And then run.
Like it.
I mean, they're personal devices, aren't
yes
they?
Yes, well, that's right.
An
absolutely
iPad, an iPod, you know, anything like that. They're personal devices. So it's something that you're doing, you're choosing to watch or listen to on your own, and therefore you should have headphones.
It's a lack of respect.
The cabin crew should stamp that out anyway. You'd
I
have thought,
so
if you're a responsible airline, that's part of your...
Is that verified, that story, that happened?
A newspaper article's verified?
No. MSM, it could be mainstream media, you know. It might not actually be true.
I'm not sure if they have this. I certainly wouldn't have it on TfL stuff, I suppose, but on UK trains. But the first time I ever travelled on a Spanish train, going back about 12 or 13 years, and I happened to be on this train, I was heading up to Madrid, and I was in a carriage. There were only two or three other people in there. And my phone rang, it was Debbie, and I obviously answered it, and speaking to her and telling her how the journey was going. The chap across from me, you know, who's about 12, 15 feet away from me, very politely pointed to the sign that said, "This is a quiet carriage."
Okay.
You know,
I've seen that on the
I was mortified because I didn't realise.
Yeah.
So I got up, went to the, you know, the divide between the two carriages, finished the phone call and came back and humbly apologised to him because I didn't know.
Smashed him in the face.
And proceeded to play my music really loud. But
if you've got a problem,
as my dad would have said, now you've got something to moan about.
If you've got a problem, call the fat controller.
Whose name you've forgotten.
Sir Topham Hatton.
Sir Topham Hatton.
Topham probably will take a break.
Talk Radio. Sorry. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 10 to 6, and you're listening to Men Talk with me in the studio today. Michael Senker, Ken Lingwood and Peter Bennett. Talking of aeroplanes, which we were a little bit just then, there's an article about a private jet. Apparently, you can now join the private jet set, but only if you can find £28,000 per person for a 23-day grand tour. Have any of you been on a private jet, for a start?
Alas, no.
No.
No, never.
No.
I wish.
Michael's looking like he's...
Yeah, but not... Yes, in another life.
Okay.
But I had the truth. Yes, I have been on one.
You
once
have? Ooh,
yes.
Okay. Was it fun?
No.
Oh, wasn't it?
Why?
It's a stowaway.
No, it wasn't fun for me. I was doing some work, and I had to go on a private jet with somebody, and they were particularly obnoxious.
Oh, God, really?
It wasn't a holiday.
Happy days,
right, so you didn't get to enjoy it at all? No.
No.
Is it the kind of thing that, you know, if money was no object... Would you quite fancy it?
Absolutely.
Would you do it?
1 million.
Yeah, I'm all over this.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying is what I saw of everybody else, I'm having a fantastic time. You know, there's no... The customs is done at the bottom of the steps. And
it's a quick process.
There's cars waiting on the tarmac.
It's a speedy, speedy thing.
Yeah.
It's great. And if you've got the money... Best way to travel.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had a whip round outside. We're only about 27, £3,400 short.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, I wonder whether, you know, there's always this debate with regards to carbon footprint and things like that.
I don't actually know what that is.
No. No.
I mean, they throw around these words, and I'm sure it was years ago. There was another word for it, which I learned.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know what's a carbon foot. I just imagine someone going like that, leaving big footprints everywhere.
Well, they said on
Jolly Green Giant.
My dad and I thought it was interesting when we went back to the UK last weekend. They were saying something. I can't remember how it was phrased. We offset. I think it might have been carbon footprint.
Yeah,
we offset our carbon footprint. So suggesting that these airlines that are obviously, you know, using a lot of carbon footprint, for want of a better expression, in terms of the amount of air miles they're doing, they're suggesting that the company is somehow putting back into the environment.
It's quite often the case. So I was talking to a guy yesterday who runs this business and is working with local businesses down here. And for every transaction over whatever amount of euros, if you're affiliated to this company, they will plant a mango tree somewhere.
Okay.
And it costs something like €3 to plant a mango tree somewhere.
Right.
So you can offset. He said that to me. He said you can offset your carbon footprint, and it only costs €3 for every transaction.
That's a really cool thing, though.
Yeah, but what is a carbon footprint?
Yeah. All the crap we're leaving behind with all these
flights that
we've taken. We use these phrases all the time.
I know.
You know, we use these phrases, and it's only like idiots like me every now and again. It's like the Emperor's New Clothes. I'm actually going to say he's actually naked, you know. What does it mean? He hasn't actually got anything on.
Yes. No, I don't know exactly what. Should we Google it?
Yeah, why not? No, but it's interesting. We're talking about it, but none of
Who
us...
Who knows what it is?
Yeah, nobody knows what we're actually talking about.
Okay, hold on. Wikipedia. There we go.
Live radio, folks. Well, whilst you're doing that, Hannah, being in the studio with these two guys, it's being with a latter-day Pete and Dudley Moore, right, isn't it?
This is the word, the thing I was... A carbon footprint is the total greenhouse gas emissions caused by an individual, event, organisation, service, place or product. Greenhouse gases, including the carbon-containing gases, carbon dioxide and methane, can be emitted through the burning of fossil fuels, land clearance and the production and consumption of food, manufacturing, blah, 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 blah. In most cases, the total carbon footprint cannot be calculated exactly because of inadequate knowledge of data. Yeah, any wiser?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
It's kind of why icebergs are melting.
The phrase that I was thinking of, which just came to me, is the environmental impact.
Yes, nice.
It's that,
nice,
isn't it?
The environmental impact of your actions.
Yes,
and how to offset those environment. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
However,
I mean, it's.
It wouldn't stop me going on a private jet.
No, we're still going on the plane. Yeah,
exactly. I think realistically, I mean, I love that thing about the mango tree, and anything that we can be doing like that is brilliant. But does it really offset? I don't think so. If your mate or whoever is going on four private jets a week, the fact that he's planting the odd mango tree, does that really make a difference to how much?
No, it makes them sleep better at night.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It makes people sleep
That's
better at night.
True.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant.
I raised my voice slightly there.
Not putting your clock back helps you sleep.
Yes. This is an interesting one. Britain is charging towards becoming a cashless society, with almost a third of all payments now made using contactless cards. Just one in six payments were made using notes and coins last year, with cash use falling by 1.7%. What do we think about a cashless society?
Oh, it's
pants is what it is.
Pants. I must confess, I so rarely use cash now.
Yeah.
I used to feel naked if I didn't go out and have
cash.
A wad of cash.
Well,
yeah.
Not so much a wad, but, you know, just to cover every eventuality.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just before coming in here, I went to get a can of drink. I just paid with it with my phone, just a ping.
Yes,
that's it, there's no cash.
Yeah, it's black magic, you see, all this.
I actually feel really strong about it.
Okay.
I'm right up there with the conspiracy theorists on this one.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's a control thing.
It's all about control.
It's a control thing, you know, I'm going to be almost serious for a moment. You know, it's like everything is going to. They want everything on the card. They want you're being tracked. I mean, I'm not. Honestly, we were talking about something on the phone. I paid for something on the phone. Within minutes, I had adverts for all sorts of auxiliary products. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, I don't want my bank to be able to know every time I want to buy a drink or a coffee, or, you know, my, all of a sudden you go into Starbucks, because now they are actually refusing in some places to take money.
Take cash.
A little note come up on my phone saying, do you know how much caffeine you've had this week? You know what I'm saying? Not saying that they would, but they could. Yeah, or I want to go and buy a new pair of trainers. So, you know, you've bought six pairs of trainers already this week. We are, you know, and probably Nike are not the best ones for you. You should be using Adidas. You know, it's a ridiculous situation. And also, there is a cash economy out there. I'm bringing into tipping. So, for instance, I don't. When I do pay with a credit card, I always leave a cash tip. Because I don't know that they get that money in the first place. But you look for big businesses. You know, I read somewhere that someone said if it's cashless, you know, it saves you paying your bill to cash. It stops the black economy. It stops this. It stops. So legally, all the big wigs, all the very, very wealthy people, they can avoid tax, right? By being clever and having clever accountants. So, but God forbid you want to bung someone a fiver in a restaurant for good service. That's the black economy.
It's going to create a big issue. And there's a friend of mine back in the UK, he's got his own business, had it for years. Lots of his clients paid him in cash, he paid his suppliers in cash. And he said to me the last time he came over to visit, he said, I've got a bit of a problem, Ken. I said, well, what's that? He's gone, I can't spend any cash. I said, it's really difficult to spend cash. I said, well, no, it's getting more difficult. He said, no, again, it's more serious than that. He said, I've got nearly 100 grand in cash in old Chinese takeaway cartons stashed around the house. I can't use it.
Yeah, but the problem, that's the exact reason what they're saying. That's the black economy of cash they want to get rid of. They want everything. It's a control thing. They want to know how much is out there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you go to a restaurant and let's say it comes to 35 euros, and you say, "We'll make it out for 40."
Yeah.
Who gets that 5 euros?
Yeah.
Does the kid who serves you knocking himself out, sweating around, trying to carry and keeping aggy customers happy?
I've asked restaurants a few times, and sometimes I've said, "I haven't got any cash. If I give you extra on the card, will you get it?" And some people have said, "Yeah, absolutely, no problem." And others have said,
"Goes into the pot."
You know, at the end of the day, there's actually a lump of cash that goes into a pot, and they split it up around the restaurant or whatever. But also, I don't understand paying a euro for the transaction must cost more. The electronic transaction must cost more than the ice cream or the cup of coffee.
And even now, cash machines in restaurants or shops or whatever, they put the cash into the machine and it counts it as if it's as if it's a credit card transaction that calculates all of the restaurant's transactions.
Good.
There's no sort of cash in the till.
What do you think, Hannah?
No.
Yeah, I'm of the same thought as you. Definitely, I think cash is king, and we should be able to pay. But I think choice is important, basically, with most things, and we should be able to choose if we want to pay on our phones with cards.
I don't want my whole life on my card.
No, fair enough.
I really don't. I don't want every time I spend something on something, you know, that something comes up on my phone to tell me that I should have bought it somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, it's becoming for me a bit of a problem.
Yeah. We've got 30 seconds left.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
A bit of a problem.
Oh, yeah. God.
Story of my life.
Well, thank you all very much for coming on today.
Thanks for having us.
It was lovely to see you. Michael Senker, Ken Lingwood and Peter Bennett.
It was a pleasure, Hannah. Thank you.
Any special plans for the weekend that you can tell us about? In
sound like
seconds?
My old barber. Anything for the weekend, sir?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go and watch a collection of the Finnish Prime Minister's best moments.
Brilliant.
Driving a speedboat on a lake.
Fabulous. Thanks, guys.
I'm watching the fact.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit TRE.radio.